Today's podcast is presented by Green Rider. I'm just an ordinary average guy. My friends all are boring, and so am I. We're just ordinary average guys. Well, hey, what's up?
We're here, baby.
We're here, dude.
We got a hell of a lot of good reviews from Jonah's podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Going back to the roots.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, Andrew and I, like you and I, we have so much fun doing our own thing outside of like recording when we're not with each other. I'm like, I just wish there was a way where we can continue to put content out that isn't even ours, that we can just like, that could just be the database, you know? Like right. Starting the Straight Candid podcast, having John and Sarah's podcast, X, Y, and Z, all these different the First Date podcast. We'll have like three or four different podcasts in the funnel that you and I get to produce and be super proud of. At the same time, you and I can record and catch up on our convenience, right? Okay. Like I want to obviously record in with guests and everything like that. But like when I'm here and you're there, it's like all we really have is each other at this point.
Right. And then going back to like just you and I connecting on what we're after and what we're trying to, you know, earn for back pocket, people connect with way easier. I mean, I was talking to Mark Dowdle earlier this week and he was like, the last few podcasts, I didn't feel like I was in the room with you guys anymore. There was like a lost charisma of us, you know, not having great energy with the guest or whatever. And this is coming from Mark, and he said when you guys came with Jonah kind of recording the quote-unquote back end show like you did last year, it rekindled. Like Mark was like, I was in the room, like I was talking at you guys even though you couldn't hear me because I was listening to the podcast. But Mark was, he's like, I'm in the room, and I was trying to like comment on what you guys were talking about, whether it was like Jonah talking about how his guitars got stolen or me smoking cigs. Just like random shit like that. Like the charisma was back. So it was just cool to hear from someone who's listened to us from the get-go.
I know. Yeah. And the cool thing too is like, I felt the same way, even listening back to those other podcasts, not to say that they are bad podcasts. Like there's a lot of good stuff to take away from any of them, any of the last three or four. But yeah, I guess what it comes down to is just like, it's a different like vibe. It's a different energy just because we're in a situation we've really never been in before. And we're just kind of doing the old FOAG, like figure out how to continue to put the content out there, still have an absolute blast doing it. And then still being genuine, transparent, and authentic, because at the end of the day, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to like force something that I don't want to do too.
Yeah, and I was on, like, for the last couple of weeks, just releasing these podcasts so much later than when we actually record them, whether it's, like, the Ron Johnson one that we recorded at the beginning of August and then we released it this week, I've felt like I was losing the love for what we were doing, just in that sense. Like, it was just, I didn't feel like I was coming, I wasn't thinking about back pocket excited. I was thinking about, like, oh, shit, I got to get this done. I got to do this, like, check boxes. It wasn't like this is what we love doing. We're only doing this because we love it. And I was losing that love, or I have it. And I think recently, like from Mark's comment and sitting down with Jeremy the other week, he had a couple great ideas for some long-term goals. I was getting some juices going. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I do agree with that. Like it has felt like a chore, even from like the social standpoint of like having to post and shit all the time. And I don't have I don't feel right at the moment right now that I have a Rolodex content that I like am not necessarily, it's not that I'm not proud of it. I just don't have much of it. So I don't want to have to like be putting it out there. And I don't necessarily, I always feel the stress to put it out there, 'cause that's part of my job and I want to do that. But at the same time, to your point, like usually I love doing it, I don't think twice about it, but there's been times where it's like, oh my God, like this is such a fucking chore. Like I don't even want to do it.
Right.
It's weird.
Well, we don't have each other to like, you know, g- get creative with things. And like when there is a lull, you and I would go do some cool shit with a guest outside and just wing it and film it. And that would be awesome content. You and I, you know, we have the creative energy when we're together, and when we're separated, I'm like trying to figure out what do I create by myself that is of the same caliber. And it's like, I need the boys. I need things going on, and I just haven't been proactive to the sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. Like I always, like I don't think I have a creative lull just by myself, because I actively try and create all the time. And I think you see that a lot on like my social pages or whatever too. Like I'm posting on my personal Instagram all the time. I'm tweeting and whatever all the time anyways, writing jokes and doing whatever. So I don't think there's a creative lull there, but I think the cohesion of Back Pocket and what that creative is, which is me and you usually doing stuff, is a lack. There's a lull there because we're not together.
Yeah.
But again, like where we want to go is like, and what I kind of said at the very beginning, which was like, what if, can I just like live my goddamn life and like still have Back Pocket putting out the content that like I'm proud of? Like I'm in control. I'm not necessarily in control of what people say and what they do, but like I'm providing the platform to people for people to say and do certain things that they want to do. And if I can just, and like, goes back to like the Barstool model and like how Dave Portnoy can sit in his Nantucket place doing Davey Day Trader all day or doing whatever the hell he does. Mm-hmm. And the company works without him, even if he's not, even when he's sleeping, you know?
Right.
That's the kind of the point that frustrates me at times, is because like, I'm so freaking busy with construction out here. And that's a conversation we'll probably get into here in a little bit. But the other part is like, with this construction job and I have like one day off, like I'm not like, the first thing I'm thinking of doing is like trying to like go and escape somewhere. Like I've just been escaping the last couple weeks. Like I just got from a camping trip in the middle of nowhere in Mount Lemmon, Tucson. And me and this girl went up out there and just like camped for 2 days. And then I did that last week too. And it's been just like such a good release, and I have all this like different creative energy and all this different things I'm working on. But at the same time, it's like I come back and I feel just as guilty as I left, because I'm like, there's still like so much work to be done, you know?
Right. How has the camping trips been? It must be gorgeous out there, like very quiet. I mean, Arizona, the stars are always out because there's not that much skyscrapers, but even more so, you're going out in like just the boonies.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's very similar to Colorado in the sense that there's like mountains and but the cool part is like, it's super dry and the climate still has a ton of vegetation to it and stuff. And the last couple of weeks have just been like, she has a truck tent. So she bought a truck tent and like a bed that fits in the back of the truck. So you're literally just like sleeping under the stars, and it's so simple. Like we don't go to camping sites. We just go to like different like state forests and locations where we can just kind of drive out into the middle of nowhere. And then we just kind of live off of like fucking White Claw water, Cheez-Its, and like M&Ms. No brainer on the Cheez-Its. But yeah, it's been like, those are the things that, I don't know. I never want to sacrifice like simply just living my life for the idea that I would have to like go and produce content or go and do this. Like, I never want to feel bad for doing any of those things. I'd rather just like recognize it and then figure out a better way to like move forward or adjust to the lifestyle that I'm trying to live or the person that I'm trying to be.
Yep. I don't know, man. What's going on here is we're doing the same thing. Like, there's nothing really changing what I'm doing day to day. Caleb and I are crushing it. And we were actually just talking about this. We're trying to figure out our long-term vision of it, because we are finding a lull in like the love of our work, because we don't know what's the evolution. What's the next step? Where are we aiming towards? Is it like the two comma club? Are we trying to make $1 million in a year? Like what's the goal? And that's made me think of like Back Pocket. Like, I was like, what's our long-term vision? Right now we're just kind of like piecing things out there and like just planning 3 months out and being like, all right, Bocella, we got to execute on this. That ends. Then we have something else in line. Like, we're thinking about going on a road trip and touring a couple cities, trying to do public speaking there, whether it's at, you know, companies, at high schools, and then recording podcasts with anybody and their mom in these, in each city. Like, that's a great vision, but like, what's the evolution of it? And we have always said it's a mirror mentality. Like, wherever we are at, that's how Back Pocket's going to do. And it's hard to see Back Pocket as a whole, 'cause it's you and I, and I don't know where I fit into your next step, and you don't know where you fit into my next step. So it's like, we're trying to puzzle something together where we don't have the corner pieces. Like, we have no corner pieces, and you got to get the corner pieces. That's the first step.
we have the corner pieces, but like,
no, they're under the couch. They're under the rug. Like, you know, they're lost. Those corner pieces.
Yeah. Are in the box. Well, I just think like we have a puzzle that's like loosely filled in, but you and I are in different rooms trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I think this piece works here. And like, there, 'cause when you do a puzzle, like, yeah, you can do it by yourself, but like, if you have two people, like, you're able to like separate colors, do all this different thing, and actually put the pieces of the puzzle together. I feel like what we're getting at is just, we're used to spending so much time together and doing like everything together. And then all of a sudden, you know, you take away our one big thing, which was Boachella, you know, not take it away, but just it's over. So we don't have much else to stress about on a day-to-day basis. So it's like, we've been able to just like get away with not having to have meetings, having to have calls. Like, even the calls we do take, it's like you and I both don't need to be there. Those pieces of the puzzles are pretty easy. When they ask us questions about who we are, we can both give them answers and direction.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. It's more about like when you have an investors meeting and they tell you, well, what's your, like, get us your 6-month plan, and we'll move forward with like thinking about what kind of money that's going to take. And it's like, dude, the next 6 months, I have no idea what I want to do. Like, I know it's not a bad thing, but I also think it would just be more fun to take advantage of the fact that we don't know what we want to do in the next 6 months. Like, I was just thinking about yesterday, I went and played golf, and I was a single, and I had two threesomes in front of me, and I was just going to vibe check. I vibe checked both of them. The first group looked weird as hell, slow as shit golfers. Didn't vibe with them. The second group, I came up on them. It smelled like weed. I feel like they just rolled a blunt and they were shocking a beer. And I just said hey to them. And then I ended up starting to play with them.
Hell yeah.
And they're like, how many times have you played this year? And I said, probably 50. Like, honest to God, I've probably played 50 rounds of golf this summer. And they're like, that's insane. How'd you do that? And, you know, did it because I'm out here in Tucson, of course. Mm-hmm. But, I just started realizing, I'm like, dude, how much golf content did you and I have for the last 3 months? Like, if we just like actively put together and continue to post, I think, which we did a lot already, which was cool. But like, we became the golf guys overnight because we wanted to do it. We became the Wim Hof guys overnight because we wanted to do it. We became the Boachella guys and the partiers and the Beastie Boys overnight because we wanted to do it. None of this has anything to do with what we want to do in 5 months or what our 6-month plan is. It's only going to give us a better perspective or a different perspective for what we want to do eventually. Just like that quote I posted on our page the other day, it's not about going after a goal. It's about going after yourself and letting goals adjust to that.
Yes.
So it's like, what do you want to do in the next 6 months? It's like, well, you and I talked about a road trip. Sick, let's fucking do it. What else needs to be said? Like, yeah. We're still with so much. There's like, it's not that there's no expectation. There's just like, I think what's the coolest part about us is like, it's just going to be an evolution. We'll figure it out as we go. And we just got to be okay with that. And we got to be aware of when we do have a lull or when we aren't liking it, because that's when it's time to make a change to do what you want to do. Do something better, do something different.
And I really want to like engage with our community. Like, at the end of the day, I love being with people that we've connected with, and whether we're the center of it or we're just around it, like hanging out with Austin Harrington, going to play a round of golf with him, dude's the best dude. I want to have him back on the show because he's evolved so much. And it's just the coolest thing to, you know, have all of these people around, like, to just hang out with. And I want to then, like, perform for him. I want to do a live show. I want to get back out in the town and, like, make a statement. But it's hard with all, like, the unknowns and the variables of, you know, the lack of what's going, like, COVID and shutting things down. And we can't actually, we're all just sitting at our homes, like, just twiddling our thumbs at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the cool part about that, too, is, like, these connections, these friendships, these different people that we run into are never, like, they're always growing, most of the, more likely than not. And that's, like, the best part. Like, you probably saw Austin last year once, and now you saw him this year once. I've yet to see him. I got to see him. But that goes to say that's a very similar mindset, very similar thing with a lot of different people that we've met over the last couple of years. And to your point, yeah, you're kind of in, when you're in a city right now during this time in the election year, all these different things, it feels like you're trapped in this like glass box. Like you have all these different things that you want to do outside, but you like can't do them for some reason. Like there's an existential force that is preventing things to fall into place. But then you like kind of just start doing 2 + 2, 4 + 4, 8 + 8. Like you start doing, getting back to the fucking roots, get back to your math,
yeah,
timetable. You start doing the math, you start realizing, well, there are a couple things we could do. Why don't we just do those? Golf is one of them. But another one that I think we could easily do after like now fucking hoofing it the last 2 weeks up in the mountains and shit. Like we can go on a road trip and meet the most amazing people and not have to worry a single thing about it while utilizing the network that we've already had. That's kind of how I plan on wanting to attack it at least.
Yeah. Cause I love having these big things on our calendar that we struggle to execute on because they're so many moving parts, but then we always execute on it. It's complicated and it's fun to put the fucking puzzle together. Like Mark Dowdle, going back to him doing this 160-mile run from Duluth back to St. Paul on October 3rd. Like that's the shit that like I want to have running through back pockets veins.
Yeah. At all times.
Yeah.
Which are you're like helping out with that, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm driving the van for him and I'm going to try to film as much as I can and, you know, make sure he's got his nutrients, make sure he's always energized. I'm just going to drive right behind him. And he's just going to fucking run for 160 miles.
That's insane.
He was talking to his two ultra marathon friends that he's connected with through like social media. And they just got done running their first ever 100 miler. And they were saying how there's all of these external like pressures that you kind of think you need to use as motivation, whether it's you're doing it for a charity or you have a great mentor and you're trying to do it for him, your parents, your friends, all the people that you said you're going to do this are trying to prove to them. And he said, are these two people like, and that's all like great and all, but it's bullshit to help you get through this. When you're going to hit your 40 mile mark and you still know you have 100 more miles to go, that stuff isn't going to get you anywhere. It all comes from within. It's all you and the work that you've put in. You can act like the charity that you're doing this for is going to motivate you to finish, but that at the end of the day, you're the one running and you have to rely on every single thing that you've worked through and built on your foundation to get through it. And Mark was just explaining this to me over the phone and he was all, you know how Mark is, so much energy, he was getting fired up. And that's what I love about Mark Dowdle, is the dude has an internal flame that is forever lit, and it's so sick.
It's contagious, dude. I mean, I watch that guy's stories all the time, and when he sends me it, it's tough. Like when he sends us those Snapchats in our little group when I'm like tired and like negative, he'll be like, square the fuck up, Declan, tighten up. And then he does it, then like seven other people are like, yeah, tighten the fuck up, Declan, figure it out. Like that's so contagious. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. I just think he's gonna, like, I also don't have any doubts. Like, I'm just like, the kid's gonna do it. I don't know how he's gonna do it, but I know he's gonna find a way to do it. And that just always impresses me. Like, and I can't even imagine, I actually can't even imagine, like, the nerves he probably is going through right now, just in terms of, like, what that's about.
And he's, you know where he is right now? He's driving the West Coast, connecting with store owners and moving busy around, growing the busy brand.
Velocity manager.
Yeah.
I went to the Sprouts again this week in Tucson to grab a cup of, or grab a thing of cold brew before I went up camping. I'll be honest, wasn't there again. And the other good thing is I figured out what our promo code actually is. It's not BP busy 20. It's B pocket busy 20 or busy B pocket 20. I have it right here. One sec.
Yeah. Look that up. That was so funny last week. Yeah. It was BP 10.
It's something, dude. I don't know. It was the craziest promo code I've ever received in my life. I couldn't really put it into words. But we do have one, and it is, yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Even crazier. Listen how psycho this promo code is. You ready?
Yep.
It's busy back pocket 20, BZYBPOCKET 20. That's BZYBPOCKET 20.
Is there only one Z?
One Z. Who does that?
Busy pocket.
Busy B pocket 20.
Busy B pocket 20. Busy B pocket 20.
That's it.
God.
Wow. I think we could work on that.
I think we can work on it. I think we can get something easier for our listeners.
Yeah. How about like Mark Dowdle can come up with something?
Yeah.
Just promo code Dowdle's a psycho. That might be a little too long. Could just be promo code Dowdle.
Promo code Dowdle. Speaking of psychos, I went to the Karim Gym, which is Brogan Graham's new garage gym.
Yeah.
I went on Tuesday morning after you threw me in a group chat at like 8:30 at night. And I was like, yeah, Brogan, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's send it. And then he responds with something like, get there at 5:20. It's going to be a cultish style workout, wear a mask, and talk in hushed tones. And I was like, all right, let's do this. And Shorewood is like 30 minutes west of here.
And oh, wow.
So I knew I had to get up. I woke up at 4:40 and got there at like 5:15. I was the first one there. And Brogan was like, I love that you're the first one here, dude. And then Coon showed up. This guy, Tyler Lorenzen.
Oh, Lorenzen, yeah.
Yeah. And then two other guys that are in the November Project crew. So it was six of us, 5:30 in the morning. Now that the sun's getting up later, it was pitch black. And he had just moved into this house 2 weeks ago. So his garage is brand new, like gym that he wants to make a garage gym like community. And he lives next to a park. We ran to the park to start for a warm-up. There's a giant sled hill that we ran up six times. And then there was a 40-foot tin slide that we bomb down after you run up the hill. Then you run over to side, and then you bomb down this slide that's big enough for, like, Brogan to go down, who's the 6'6 goddess. It was the funniest thing. It's pitch black, and I'm just bombing it down the sled hill, running up. And we did that as a warm-up, ran back, and then it was a 40-minute AMRAP of six exercises. I was toasted, Declan. I had no legs left. And then we ran, and then we had a finisher of 10 burpees, and then we ran back to the park, up the hill, down the slide, and back to the garage as our last thing. And the winner got an Aquaman action figure. So every time we have the finisher, that Aquaman action figure gets passed around. Psychos. I'm going back tomorrow morning.
That is amazing, dude. What's it called? Karim Gym? You got to get like personal invite from Brogan or what?
You got to get a personal invite from Brogan. Karim. K-A-R-M-I-N. Karim Gym.
K-A-R-I-M, Jim North.
Brogan's the man. His kid was sleeping, hilarious. And he had his little monitor in the garage, and he was like, all right, just got to make sure he doesn't wake up. So I'm going to keep checking this, and if he wakes up, you guys are too loud and you fail, and you're not welcome back.
You wake up the kid, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
Dude, that's so funny.
But that's another thing, Deck, like meeting up with Coons randomly and seeing him and working out with Coons, like another person that's in our circle.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. And what's kind of dragging a little bit is me not being able to exactly share. Like, I always get excited when we have something, when someone asks how's back pocket doing. I am struggling kind of like saying what exactly how I want to describe what the future of back pocket is. And yeah. Right now it's kind of like we're in a lull. Declan's out in Tucson. We're trying our best to record over Zoom. And when he comes back, like backlog a ton of podcasts, but the actual like why of back pocket is that's really what's in the lull of the.
Yeah. We don't get to go to like the workouts anymore. We don't have the consistent replenishing of our community per se. At least when I'm here, you could still go see Coons and do all that stuff too.
Yeah.
But that's what I was saying too. Like, I was thinking about like going on that road trip again and like thinking about how we would record and what the studio would look like. And then like looking at down the road at like an even bigger vision with like having like a traveling, like if we actually took back pocket on the road, if like this first road trip goes well and we like get the bug about wanting to go across the country in a van or some shit, like having that. And I was like, dude, it's crazy. Like, I know I'm not there right now, but like we have a full on studio in our house, like where you're sitting currently. And we're not going to have that a year from now, probably.
Right.
Like,
wait, and that's another thing. We're as a house right now talking about what, if we're staying here again, like so much shit.
Just a lot of moving parts, but then it just tells you it's like fucking live in the moment. Just do the things that you want to do right now. They're like, set yourself a shorter itinerary just so you can have a little bit more, happiness. And that short spurts, while they're short and they're spurty, have some gratitude throughout it too. And I was just like, man, I was again back to the studio. I was like, I'm thankful. Like, we actually like built a studio in our house, and like we've been using it for a long ass, like for this whole year. And I'm like, I just don't want it to go to waste. So I was like, you should just start having as many different people in that studio as you possibly can. And just like I said, I don't need to be there at all. I would much rather, I just want it to be put to use and put to good use, you know?
Yep.
Get freaking you, Brogan and Jason in there. Get, you know, it doesn't, there's so many parts of like, that's the part that I get back to again, is if I can go to bed at night and still have podcasts that I can listen to that aren't even with me in it, and it's still the thing that we run, like, dude, that's going to make me happier than anything, dude. Like, because then that just like opens the floodgates. It doesn't open the floodgates, but it just like, it's another step in a different direction we've never had before, while we're still able to maintain the thing that we really care about, which is this conversation right here.
Yeah. I'm with you, dude. Blake Weber, Mark Dowdle and I are going to record a podcast. Yeah. Thursday, the Thursday before we go do the run. And
yeah,
I was about to tell you that we were going to release it right away. To like record on Thursday, release it Friday morning, to just like bring more awareness to Mark and what he's doing.
Are you gonna, do you want to OBS it and everything or what? Have Marcus there?
Oh, maybe I should.
Yeah. I was going to say, if that's the quickest way to put it out there, Marcus knows how to do almost everything.
Yeah. I'll text him. That's a good point.
That way you can just put it out right away instead of having to like chop everything up and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, dude, I also have this freaking supercomputer now, which is absolutely bananas.
Yeah, how's that computer, dude?
It's sick. I have a fucking full Xbox on here now. I played PGA golf like a lot. And then I just got this like massive So like,
dude, yeah. So I don't think PGA can we can play cross platform.
On probably not because I'm Steam. That's what I am. It's PC.
Okay. Because so, Jonah, Matt, and I play on live in separate rooms, just in the same house, and it's so much better playing on live because you don't wait for shots. Everyone shoots at the same time, or like whenever they're ready, they just shoot, and like we finish the hole, and then there's a loading till everyone else finishes the hole, then it goes to the next one. You can play 18 holes with three people in 16 minutes.
Because you're just hitting over and over and over and over
on repeat. We tried to play a speed round yesterday, and Matt shot -8. Joan and I both shot -4 on pro, and it was so much fun. I absolutely love PGA.
Yeah, so PGA you gotta.
I should stream it.
Like the easy move right now, or the easy mode.
Yeah.
Because I'm just trying to get used to it. Like I'm flicking the stick up too fast, so I'm not able to. I'm hitting it too fast, so I'm just pulling it every time.
Yep.
So I'm trying to straighten that out first, and then the putting. Like I've been using the little preview putt just to see how my reads are, and putting is so hard in this game.
It's so hard. Everything is so hard. The game is. I'm playing on pro, which is like your C level. You're like, you know, there's five more advanced versions than what I'm playing at, and I struggle. Okay. I struggle all the time.
So what are your settings? Is it the same? Like, just walk me through, like, do you have the zoom? Do you have everything or what's the,
yeah, you got all of the features. It's just more, the swing is way more sensitive. So it's, you know how there's like that white bar when you're going back and forth and you got to keep it in it on, yeah, the lower versions. It's wide. The pro, yeah, it gets tighter, so you have to like keep it really in line and keep it straight. Your tempo is very important, and then like the wind and your lie are just more advanced, and you just have to factor in all the other moving parts.
Yeah. Do you keep the putt preview on too, or no?
We get three putt previews.
Oh, around.
Around, yeah. You got to use them wisely. Always on an eagle putt. If you need to, you know, grind out a par and it's an important putt, you got to just use them wisely.
Dude, perfect. That's, yeah.
And the other hard part is you can't get off the tee. You can only hit it 170 or 270 yards, and your second shots are always, it's like 3-wood. It's like, dude, why can't I only hit my 3-wood 220?
It's so funny. That's so funny. Dude, I played this course yesterday. The total course length was like 3,400 yards, like tiny, teensy course. Like there was a par five that was like 270.
Yeah, driving the green.
Yeah, dude, I had like three.
There's mini putt courses.
Really?
Yeah, Joan and I played a putt course. Were you?
What?
We just only used putter, and it was like had like objects in the way and. It was so fun.
Yeah. I want to start streaming again, playing that game. I feel like it'd be super – we can make that happen no problem now.
I think we could, too.
Got to play more.
Yeah. Especially with Joan and Matt and I playing all the time. We play every day.
Yeah, just start streaming that. It should be funny as hell.
It's too good.
Get a league going. Yeah, that's – it's freaking nuts. But
so what's the – the progression with your buildings, like you got three retirement buildings going up in Tucson and you're in charge, yeah, of one of them. There's three guys on the job. One of the, yep, guys is leaving here next week.
There's a little more to that, but yeah.
And then it's just going to be two guys in their, yeah, early 20s.
Yeah. Me and a guy who's our age. That's it. One of the buildings is pretty much totally done. One of the buildings is like 90-some% done. And then my building's like 40% done. And yeah, our boss, Bummy, who people have heard about in a little bit. I was hot early talking about Bummy, putting him out on social media and stuff. And then he saw that I was doing that and he had kind words for me. So we shut that down. So if you haven't seen anything about Bummy in a long time, that's why. But so he leaves for Cabo last week to go on a fishing trip for Labor Day. And he leaves me and the other kid in charge. And just a lot of things happened, and we had to work. I think I worked 7 days straight. And so did the other kid. The other kid worked just as many hours, if not more. And like it, nothing really went too wrong, but we had to like go off the off cuff a little bit to get some shit done. And,
what's up?
Perfect. We'll be done in a little bit here. Thanks. That's my landlord. Anyways, about to go golfing, but, yeah. So Bummy comes back this week and we redo the schedule, and we lost a week on the schedule. And what happened, like, we just had to redo the schedule with, like, Bummy had just put dates in that weren't really realistic, supposedly. And our schedule went from October 12th or something to like November 2nd. We just like lost 3 weeks, but Bummy figures all this out right after he comes back from Cabo. So now he tells us that the week he left for Cabo was the week we lost 3 weeks on the job. And dude, the guy was like about to flip a table on me. I swear to God, it was like, what the hell? This is not that big of a deal. Like we'll get it done. It's not, it, I'm always attacking it from like the standpoint of like, hey, we'll figure it out eventually. It's not that big of a deal, but it's just crazy. I was telling you this earlier, the other day, like, I just don't understand how people come to me for things that they need. Like I'm in charge of a building that the people building the building know like 10 times more than I do about how to build a building. It's asinine.
And they're coming for you for the answers.
Yeah. And I have like a decent idea of schedule and things that need to get done next, X, Y, and Z. But it's like, it's like a lot of responsibility. And I mean, I like it. It's fine. We get it done. I feel more like, I was telling you, I feel like a peewee football, softball, or a football coach where all the kids are smarter and more athletic than I ever was. And I'm just like calling the plays and doing press conferences, and that's about it. But yeah, I'll be here. I don't know how long I'll be here, but basically whenever we're done with the job, we're going to go on a road trip, and that's final.
Yeah, everyone asks, and that's another funny ass thing about you not being here. No one asks how I'm doing. Everyone asks, "How's Decky doing?" First question I ever mouth when I see anyone. And then I always like, yeah, and like, when's he coming back? And I'm right now. My answer is after Thanksgiving.
Nice. Now you sandbagging motherfucker. Yeah, that's about right, though. I mean, I'm sure that'll fucking happen.
Because if you get back earlier than that, then more power to you. But I'm tired of saying, like, end of August, end of September, end of October. Now I'm just going, I'm sandbagging you. End of November.
Yeah, watch. And then I'll meet that deadline and be like, actually, January 1.
January 1, 21.
Oh, my God. No, I hope that's not the case. It shouldn't be the case. But, yeah, dude, another, and it goes back again to like, you know, the issues of just like not having a lot of like true vision, which is not a bad thing. Again, I always say it's not a bad thing. It's better that we're contemplating a vision rather than not even knowing that we should have a vision or not have a vision.
Right.
We're seeing, we have eyes. That's better than not having eyes. This is what I guess is what I'm getting at. But like, I don't want to be in fucking construction the rest of my life. This would be miserable. Not miserable, but miserable. Like, oh my God. Like in order to do a good job, like you have to just like always be thinking about it. It just needs to consume your life so that it gets done. And I don't want that. And nor am I like, I feel like I'm a good communicator. I'm sure I can definitely get people on the job site. That like those tangible skills are things required to be good at construction. But like it, I just question all the time now more than ever where I'm just like, I just want to get in a car, pack my fucking things and go around the country and just podcast and forget about everything because it just weighs on me, dude. It's so much. And I don't want to do it that much anymore. I just don't know how much longer I can last. And I know there's definitely a lifestyle waiting for me. Not waiting for me, but I know there's another lifestyle I can go for that I'll be just as happy. Maybe make some much, same amount of money, if not. We'll figure it out. I mean, there's so much more to it. There's so much more to life than construction. But at the same time, I do realize, like, I could just be traveling around the country a couple more years, get these jobs in cool locations, get paid for it, maybe live that lifestyle. But I don't know. It's just it's a first time where I'm like not as comfortable as I didn't realize I was before. And now I'm like, I got to get out of this fucking fishbowl.
Yeah. Weird. I'm with you. Like, people are making changes. Jack Burke just changed jobs. Steve's looking to change his job. Things are like, you're in that point where like you can keep tasting, but you want to find that one thing and go all in on it. You know, you can only taste for so long. I know Gary Vee always pounds it out, like, keep trying. Your 20s is for just finding what you love. And I have found what I love. And I want you to find what you love from the standpoint of, like, the end goal is there. Like, you're not, like, working horizontally to then go vertically. You're just still trending in that one area. Whether it is being in the construction thing, and that's something that we talk about for the last 4 years of just like how much of back pocket is full time. Like, what does that mean? Do we want that? If we take it full time, what would we execute on? And I know I'm kind of going off on little like tangents right now. I'm not connecting the dots, but what I'm getting at is, when I talked with Jeremy last week about how back pocket can start making more money, and we always struggle with providing the value first with sponsors, whether they're podcast sponsors or Bocella sponsors, we're always value first, and we want to give them so much value and undercharge them. That's like how we operate. And I think with that mindset, and all of these companies that we work with are usually family-owned small businesses. They don't have a lot of marketing dollars. So if they do give us money, it's a big investment. And I always feel terrible not returning that value.
Yeah.
So flipping the model is pretty much what Jeremy was saying. And start charging our listeners to utilize our community. And I don't know if that is a good job of saying it, but a subscription model where we partner with all of these 280 podcast guests that we've had on and their companies that they run with. And we have a unique offering with each one, whether it's a product, a service, a discount. And there's a giant Rolodex for our community to pay $10 a month to see all of these awesome things, whether it's Unreal apparel, whether it's going to Karim Gym, whether it's, you know, the various things that we have talked with our guests through, and they can join us and they can do it themselves. So they have this access. They can get discounts when we host live shows, when we have Bocella, they have first dibs on a discount to all these events. And then also we can host random events, whether it's like workouts outside, and they are the first people we ask, hey, do you want to come? And it's free for them or something like that. And now we get 50 people to invest in that. And you know, it's just, that's the annuity. And the subscription service is, you see it everywhere. It's the biggest moneymaker. It's the biggest win because companies know it's going to come in every month. That's why my dad's company was able to fight through all this COVID stuff right now. They have a subscription model through the wine section of their restaurant. You see all of the media companies go into some type of subscription, whether it's NBC using Peacock, Disney with Disney Plus, all these various things. And I truly believe
we could get a ton of people, especially since we're dominating the sandbox. We've said it since the beginning of last year. We have dominated the Twin Cities. We know more people doing way more, we know more people doing miscellaneous things than I think anyone in this city, because we have not narrowed down on one thing. We can go in so many different directions and we always know someone there. And we gotta bring that more, we gotta bring that closer together and make it nice and tidy and put a little bow on it and say, hey, back pot community, 10 bucks.
Wrap it into like a little burrito.
Yeah. Thoughts?
Chipotle burrito.
We haven't talked about this. This is the first time I'm bringing it up to you.
Yeah, no, I know. I seen the meeting notes on it and I saw the idea for a subscription thing. And I'm not very like, I'm not ever confident that anyone will ever buy it. Like that people will just like buy into things that I tell them about. I just never have been. Not saying that this won't work. What I'm saying is I like the idea of the subscription model and I know it works. Like your dad's wine company, Cooper's Hawk has the wine club membership where you pay a subscription and you get wine. So they're able to just target all the people that not only go to the restaurant, but also like wine. Those are typically your wine club members. Whereas like, I want to know who our most dedicated listeners are and what they really enjoy the most. Because if we spread out 60 different options because of, like you said, the style of our podcast is just everything. I wonder what if we were just to release it now and say subscription to and here's the 60 different deals. I wonder like what things people are most interested in, you know?
I think the best things that we would do is events, obviously, like workouts and hosting those like once a month or something and just bringing people outside, having Maddie C lead a yoga, Sophie do a HIIT workout, and they do sculpt, and then we all just hang out and we drink beer in the park. That's a no-brainer. And you know, and if they pay 10 bucks a month to know that there's gonna be one of those every month, and then they also can use busy promo code in there, they can use an Unreal promo code in there, and they're not now they're interacting with us and they get deals. It's it's almost like we're using the Let's Go app, the dating app, basically that same model, but we're doing it with us, like what we have built. And now we get to like rekindle all of these conversations with like the Jason Koonses, the Brogan Grahams, the Austin Harringtons. Go play around with Austin Harrington for discounted
golf lessons.
Golf lessons, something. We have a list of filmers. Have a photo shoot with Davis Neary. Have a photo shoot with Jake Josh Moe. We got all these people. Like, we need to give them more value, and we have all of these other people that want the value. Anybody in the city.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing too, is just like, do we have a big enough audience or a big enough knowledge base of people that would like be interested or be interested in the different things that we provide? Like, Facebook ads. 100%.
Facebook ads.
Yeah. Well, I think that's our most underutilized thing that we have right now with our sponsors. Like, when they pay a sponsorship, like, they're paying to be a part of the brand now. And part of that brand could be podcast ads, could be us just talking genuinely about it now, like Green Rider now being a sponsor is freaking sweet. Record, like, they're like a drug delivery business. And
pharmaceutical for Ubers. An Uber pharmaceutical where you, you know, whatever you need at Walgreens or the local CVS, they have that delivery service for you. Green Rider.
Correct. And we got to get the founder on because he's got an amazing story about like how he came up with the company. He's explained it to us.
And they're awesome guys. Like, they are fired up about what we're doing. And they absolutely loved Boachella. They were on the boat. And did you hear that out of the 200 people that came on the boat, the 200 plus people, 70 people signed up for Green Rider. That's so sick. That's like the things that I love. That's the value that I'm like, sweet. They invested in Boachella and they saw the ROI. They weren't going after money. They don't have everything exactly fleshed out, but they're like right around turning the corner on releasing everything. So they're just looking for signups. And all you got to do is go to greenrider.com or follow them on Instagram. And you'll see the value that that they're offering.
Right. 100%. But that still goes back to the same spot of like, I wonder if there's a test that we could run that would get us an idea of what types of things people are most interested in. And what you just described, which was like workouts, events, coffee, throw in like bolos or seltzers, you know, different types of things. I don't know what else we could offer, but there's tons of different opportunities that we could throw out there. I wonder if there's like a way we could just like test that in the market without having them pay yet, just to see if you take away the barrier to entry there right away, just to see if like people actually click on it and do something with it.
I mean, I think that would be the right first step, because
okay,
you're not going to make someone pay $10 to something that's not proven yet. You just say, hey, first 3 months are free, and then you make them sign up with their credit card. So then after, when the fourth month hits, they're still in the system and then they start paying.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay. Or you give them a discount, you know, it's all, you know, a little give and take, a little Facebook ads, a little, you know, gabagool, a little, it's amore.
Zoot, zoot. You toss the line in and you ain't got one. Bang. Four bang. Months.
Dude, bang. Your bird noises. Did you just pull that out of nowhere, or were you practicing that shit? Because you
sounds good, dude.
Nailed it.
Dude, it was bugging me. It was just actually bugging me. Like, I want just like not the. I was the first one up. What's up? Oh, yes. Thank you.
There you go. How many landladies do that?
Not many. I'll see you on the course.
Little mimosa.
Just got a little screwdriver to get my day started from Kathy.
That's phenomenal.
Dude, I'm telling you, being in the divorcee 60 plus demo out here is amazing.
That's phenomenal. I love it.
That is strong.
the birds, dude. The birds.
Oh, yes.
They came out of nowhere too. You were like all fired up about these fucking birds, and then all of a sudden you started doing the bird noises.
Dude, so first off, the impetus behind it was I just got done with a workout. Sophie has me doing these, which if you need anybody to like help like plan workouts or something, she's great for like me being on the road, no equipment. So I text Sophie, hey, can you give me a few no equipment workouts that I can mess around with? She sends them right over to me. And one of them is like a hill run circuit, four reps of hill runs. And I live by this massive hill. So I'll wake up, and like you said earlier, when you went to Karim, like it's just dark out earlier all day now.
Yep.
Like until at least 6:30. So I'm running in the dark all morning. And then the second I'm done with my workout is when it's like lighter outside. And then like, and then now the birds all fucking start chirping. And it's funny to be the guy to hear the first bird, because one bird has to like muster up the confidence to like start yelling, you know, like one bird's like, yep, I'm going to have to, and then like on one other bird, it like actually hears it. And it's like, I guess it's time to start screaming today. And like, that's, and then all of a sudden you have word of mouth traveling across 5, 6, 7 miles of a certain area. And now you have a bird takeover. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is, it's money. You literally teed
guess
it up
what?
Perfectly.
Guess what, dude? But guess what? I'm up before the birds. I fucking decide when the birds get to start chirping, because I'm the first one that's chirping.
I'm the first one that's chirping. What was the
I'm the guy. I'm the guy. And that's all I want is I just want other people to be the determiners, be the ones that they can wake up in the morning, and if they're actually tired and they don't want like they're in a lull or something, they have excuses, like they're the ones that can get themselves out of there.
And that's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
I was really caught up on that at the end of my video as well.
Right on, dude. Well, we're getting
funny. I knew.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we are getting to the end. I will let you. We will get there. We will get to the end. The end is in sight because we can see. We have a vision.
We have
that's
vision.
Not what I'm saying about our vision, but I'm just also flexing the fact that we can see.
I need glasses, though.
You need glasses. I have 20/20 vision, and it's probably one of the main reasons why I'm as effective and productive as I am, because I can see far and close at the same time.
I cannot.
But I knew, goes back to that conversation of like, oh, I didn't know. Like we've been like struggling, not struggling, but just like, I haven't had much like motivation or want to like post videos or pictures or whatever it is. Like you said, some of it has started to seem a little bit like a chore. But after I posted that bird video on my story, I had like 4 people respond right away. And they were like, this got me fucking fired up. So I was like, all right, you guys need to see it. Then I'm going to put it out on back pocket and see how many more people need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And that video, I don't even know if it even got over 400 views. I don't really even care. Those are the kind of videos, just like your dad doing his Motivation Mondays talks every Monday on an Instagram story. I don't care how many people view it. I just care that people do see it, because that's some of my favorite content that keeps me going on a day-to-day basis.
It's memorable. That's the statement that I want to keep in everyone's brain, you know? And I love it. My dad's videos are phenomenal. He's gotten so freaking good.
He's gotten good at them, dude. Like, so good.
I am shocked. This last one too. It's all one take. And I ask him every time, one take, dad, one take. And you know how he preps? If he's not going on a walk, if he's walking, he'll think about it and then do one take. But usually, more times than not, he's going for a swim. And he says throughout his whole swim, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. And then he literally forgets that he's swimming, and he'll swim for 40 minutes. And then he gets out of the pool, and as he's leaving the Lifetime or wherever he works out, he records it one take, walking out of the workout to his car. In that 60 seconds that it takes, that's how he finds, you know, he creates time for the value and just walks from the place to his car, and he nails it one take. Cheers, boys.
That's amazing.
Johnny I. Pops.
Johnny I. It's amazing. I absolutely love that. I do the same thing though when I'm running too, and I'm like planning on like wanting to have a video or something that I want to put out. That's like what I'll just constantly like have shit on my mind. Like, oh, what I want to say. And it's funny because like when you do that, you like find yourself a little more accountable, a little more like on it, you know?
Yep. It's perfect. It's money.
It's great. Dude, is there any content that you want to be making right now?
Any content that I want to be making?
Well, because the reason I'm asking is like, I don't want people to think that it's just like just me all the time, you know?
Sure.
Because I'm always putting shit out there. I always will. But like, if you want to get screen time, dude, go for it. I'm never going to say you shouldn't, but
I know.
And if you don't want to, then it's not, no worries. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I like when I'm gassing someone else up. So I got to put myself in more situations where I can record with someone or record someone else that is doing cool shit. Cause at the end of the day, that's why I love Back Pocket the most, is because it's a platform and a community to uplift voices of people that, you know, are in the same shoes as us, and they're fighting every day to, you know, find that vision, to work hard, and to, you know, be fulfilled. So I got to put myself in more situations and actually record them, because actually I am putting myself in those situations, whether it's like Sid just did her first class at Alter on Friday, and she crushed it. She absolutely crushed it. There was 18 of us, me, Sophie, and then a bunch of Sid's friends. And then we went out and just ran the gamut. It was so much fun. But I need to like, I am always like phone down and live in the moment, but I need to like actually just like take a quick moment to record this, because that will help them more than I think.
Yeah, no, that's a really, really good example. And I think that if that's your role, that's your role, you know, do it. That's always like my thing, is I've always just thought about it. Like, I'm like always thinking about content, which I wrote that in my journal the other day. I was just like having one of those like paranoia moments, and I'm like, why am I always thinking about fucking content? Why? I always am, no matter what. Blessing and the curse. But another thing too, like I mentioned earlier, dude, just like use the podcast studio, because we only have, if we're literally gone in May, it's, which is when our lease is up, which if we want to stay, we want to stay. If we don't want to stay, we don't want to stay. I'm leaving that out to the jury. But I mean, we're halfway through September. So you're telling me I have all of October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. So you have 8 months left with that studio. I do too. I'm not always there and we're not always recording, but it's a sacred space to have some of the best conversations you'll ever have in your life. And it's in our own house.
Right.
Even if they're not recorded, I'm sure people are going up there still just to hang out. I saw Sophie in there and the other day, like maybe Friday or Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah, Sophie, we had like 12 people in here.
That's awesome. We had then it's being used. Yeah. I'm good.
Greg was jamming on the guitar. And then we had a podcast going on in the background. And they wouldn't let me record it, though. It was pissing me off. I was like, let me record this and we can just save it and no one ever released it. And they're like, yeah. No, we're not recording. I'm like, damn it. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is like my favorite part about our house is that people want to come up into the studio and hang out. Like people see that as like a sacred space to do just exactly that. And that makes me happy. And we earned that, you know, I think that's fucking sweet. But again, if there's other people that want to come on, like Mark or Blake, or I mean, there's all kinds of different people, that we can think of that we in within our community that we can continue to, push forward, then those are the people, like, let's just do it. Like, don't think twice about it just cause I'm not there.
Right.
You and I'll continue to put stuff out there between you and I, no problem. And if you have videos that you need me to chop up, me and Marcus have the content team at Back Pocket Corps is always running strong.
It's flourishing.
It's flourishing. Always has been.
Right on, dude. I say we put a bow on it. You got a round of golf to play.
Yep.
There's football to be watched. How should we end this podcast? I got to still read that letter that you sent me over. I got to read that, but any question from that is like super, like that comes first to mind that we should like answer as we finish this podcast. And you could take it a different route too.
I mean, yeah, definitely read that article. It's Hunter S. Thompson's letter back to his friend, like Huber or Homer or something in 1948. And his friend basically sends him a letter and says, "Hey, I'm looking for some life advice. I'm trying to get my life squared away." And Hunter S. Thompson writes him a letter back on his advice and what he thinks he could do to make his life a little bit better. And it's beautifully written. It came at a time from Adam Lovick, kid who loves our podcast and runs a travel blog, wrote an article on it last year and sent it to me. And it really clarified things for me, because one of the things he said was in the letter was, if you have 8 things in front of you that you're looking to do and you don't like any of them, it's up to you to choose the ninth route. It's up to you to figure out the next thing that you want to do and be happy with the fact that you can do that. So we don't know what we're doing in the next 6 months. That sucks. That also is the best opportunity we have to live in the moment and figure out what we want to do. As long as you're committed every single day to finding what you want to do, being who you want to be, constantly active on that, you can conform goals to whatever that person becomes.
Amen.
And who we become. So I'm not worried whatsoever. And I've never been happier. But at the same time, these are the conversations, these hour long conversations per week between you and I, just needs to happen going forward. Always needs to. We've come back to these moments every single time where we come into these little fritz moments where we're like, hey, we need to fucking figure this shit out. What are we doing? And it happens every time on these meetings. So I say we continue to do them each week, you and I, until I'll probably fly back one of these weeks. We can record some podcasts, get those out. You record some podcasts, get those out. We'll have new podcasts that we're producing for other people. Those will be out very soon. But regardless, we're always moving up and to the right.
Up and to the right, Decky. I'm proud of you. You're a fucking stud. Keep working hard. And hey, go low today.
Thanks, bro. Love you, man. I love you and I love everybody else. Take care.
Take care.
Just a step away from everything she said.